Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
We return to Luke, and now the journey to Bethlehem. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
I wonder if there's anyone in the room wondering, why am I here? What is this guy gonna say? As I said earlier, maybe you're here because you have a deep longing this Christmas. Maybe you're here because somebody said, we're all going to church and you have to come too. Maybe you're here because you have a family member who's one of our incredible musicians. Maybe you're here because you're connected with Tom, who reads this Christmas story so beautifully. Maybe you're here because sometimes Christmas feels lonely and you just wanted to be somewhere. Maybe you didn't feel like you could be in the room, but you're joining online any one of those reasons or a thousand others. The challenge of the preacher on Christmas Eve is to say something that might land in some minor way to a group of people, most of whom have at least heard some part of this story before. Many of whom might recognize that the story is thousands of years old. And could it possibly have any relevance or meaning today? I gotta tell you that there's one way that I'm a little bit different from some of my clergy colleagues and Christian siblings who would suggest that our sacred text is the only place that God speaks. Who would hold up our sacred text, which I myself surely hold holy, and would say, all that God has to say is contained here. And I can't proclaim that, because if I proclaim that, then what I'm proclaiming is that God is no longer speaking. And if I proclaim that God is no longer speaking, then I can't stand up here and tell you that this story still has relevance today. And my job has failed. But I'm not here to tell you that God is no longer speaking. I'm here to tell you that the story still has relevance and meaning. I'm here to tell you that there is power in the narrative, and there's power in being here tonight, whether you were forced to be here, or you wanted to be here, or you have a deep longing, or just somebody else who was here, you came with them. Maybe you identify with those shepherds. Feel like sometimes the world can be a wilderness. And maybe here as you sit in this place and the light shines around you, both artificial and candlelight, and you feel that sense of fear. And here comes somebody standing up front wearing all white, saying something like, "Don't be afraid. I am bringing you good news of joy for all people." Now, I want to be clear. I'm not trying to say that you all are shepherds. And I'm surely not saying I'm an angel, because I ain't. But there may still be value in this story tonight. I'm a musician. Now, I use that term loosely. And as a musician, one of the things that I pay attention to in the world, whether it's here in a church or when I'm in my car listening to the radio, and I promise it's not the Christian radio stations, is I love music. And there are moments in my life that connect with particular songs. And maybe it's because the lyrics fit. Like the lyrics that some artist sings fits. Or maybe it's because, you know, this was just a big song in a difficult moment in my life. I'm Gen X, and so the Top Gun soundtrack has powerful meaning for me. As does every single note written by John Williams in all of the Star Wars franchise. But I wonder if you have a soundtrack for your life. Maybe you love the deep theology of Johnny Cash. Maybe you love, and I believe this to be true, maybe you love some of the incredible theology from Katy Perry. Yeah. Maybe you know some of the rugged theology of 50 Cent and Tupac. Maybe you know some of the deep theology of Mumford and Sons. Music speaks to our souls, and it carries meaning for us. And the reason I bring this up is because we've been singing these familiar Christmas carols. And did you know that you have been singing deep and rich and traditional theologies? Did you know that you've been doing that? You've been telling the traditional Christmas story in the carols that you've sung. Did you know that? Let's talk about some of what we have sung this evening. When you sang "What Child Is This?" by William C. Dix, words, of course. "Why lies he in such mean estate where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christians fear for sinners here. The silent word is pleading." The silent word. Well, that's what Tom just read. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The silent word is pleading. You are singing deep theology. Even before that, we sung John F. Wade's "O Come All Ye Faithful." "True God of true God, light from light eternal, lo, he shuns not the virgin's womb, son of the Father, begotten, not created." Do you know where this language comes from? The ancient Nicene Creed of the 4th century. Did you know you were singing 4th century theology tonight? Of course, we are in a United Methodist Church. And as United Methodists, we would do well to sing some good Wesleyan theology. You may know of the brothers John and Charles Wesley, who started a holy club in their school. And people thought they were so ridiculous with their religious adherence, pun intended religious adherence, to their practices, that they started making fun of them. You know what they called them? They were so methodical that they called them Methodists. And rather than try to fight it, the Wesley brothers embraced the term. Yes, we are Methodists. There's a rumor about Charles Wesley. I don't know if you've heard this rumor. Well, I know at least one of us has heard this rumor. There's a rumor that Charles Wesley, who is one of the greatest hymn lyric writers of all time. How many hymns did he write? How many? 700 something? Was it more? That's a lot of, as an extroverted preacher, that's a lot of words. The rumor about Charles is he wanted so much for the hymns that he wrote to be sung in ways that people could really participate, that he would listen to the favorite pub songs that were sung, that were probably not words people sang in church. And he would write words for those songs so that people would already know the melodies. Now, I want you to know that some academics I've talked to said, well, no, Charles would find that offensive. I'm going to change the word offensive to vile. And the reason I choose that word is because Charles' brother John, listen, you're getting deep into Wesleyan theology tonight. I promise we're going to get somewhere with this. Charles' brother John, who we credit with the founding of the United Methodist tradition, also found something vile: preaching outdoors. And yet he became one of the most prolific and prophetic outdoor preachers. But how do we know he called it vile? Because he wrote a lot. He wrote as many words as his brother Charles did in hymns. And he wrote a journal. And he said, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I submitted to be more vile. And he went outside and preached for the first time. And so because of their deep and connected relationship, yes, I agree they may have found it offensive. Yes, I agree they may have found it vile. And I believe that's why they did it. And that's why we have this rich tradition of singing these Christmas carols that tell us the Christmas story and tell us deep Christian and Wesleyan theology. And do you know what you sang tonight in what is probably the most popular Christmas carol in the English language and others, in Hark the Herald Angels Sing? Do you know what you sang tonight? Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. And here's my favorite part: veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Here, as we celebrate the birth of an infant child, is one scripture names as Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us, the incarnate deity. God here in this place, today, now. Isn't that astonishing? Because for some of us, the darkness feels like it overwhelms, as the nights are long and the days are short, as there is such deep division between people, not only of political parties, but within families. People who sit across Christmas dinner tables and don't want to bring up that one subject or that one topic because they're afraid of, I just don't want to talk about it. It hurts my heart. When we understand that there's war and violence in the world, when we understand that there are people who are aching, when we understand that by nature of storms here in this country that people are dying and without power, and how can we find hope? Hail the incarnate deity, Emmanuel, God with us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. We began this time of worship with the artificial lights dimmed down, and we felt the darkness in a tangible way. And then a few people came and lit candles, and we saw the light shine in the darkness. As this service concludes, we will sing again. We will sing a familiar carol. We will sing Silent Night. And we will not only see more candles lit, we will join in lighting those candles in the same way that we joined in singing the Christmas story this night. Because the light shines in the darkness. Because the Christmas story still has power. And the Christmas story still has power because it can still be told, because God is still speaking. And if God is still speaking, if we can hear that still small voice, if we can experience that strange nudge, that warming in our hearts, if we can experience something that feels like it's bigger than us, that feels like it's beyond us, if maybe we can understand that God is still speaking, then we can recognize Emmanuel, God is with us. The light shines in the darkness. The story still has power. Let the stable still astonish. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you.